Okay, so we have Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu and his wives. I remember hearing secondhand many years ago, there was an open house here, and Dean Sokol was away, so Rabbi Shmulevitz and Dean Ratner were in charge of the open house. So you can imagine there were fun times were had by all. So I heard secondhand that one of them got up and basically said that it was Parshas Vayetze. So they said that Lander College is very much like Parshas Vayetze. You come into college single without a parnasa, like Yaakov Avinu, and you're going to leave with a parnasa and four wives. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how well it went over, but I heard it was very funny. Anyways, okay. So, okay. And we have in this, we all are aware of this priority that Yaakov Avinu had towards Rachel. You know, Yaakov was drawn to Rachel over Leah. Now, I think we all can understand that Yaakov Avinu's draw towards Rachel wasn't coming from externalities or superficial qualities. He was already older in his years, and it's clear from the Psukim and the Mefarshim that Yaakov Avinu's goals were not superficial external goals. I saw a quote of the Rambam writes in Mordavuch, and that the goal of the Avos was to build Klal Yisrael. That was the entire goal of the Avos, and you find it throughout Chazal. That was the goal of Yaakov Avinu in getting married. And it's an explicit pasuk after he finishes his 7 years of work. So Yaakov says to Lavan, he says, "Give me my wife, Hava es ishti, v'avoa elaha, and I will come to her." That's what he says to Lavan. So Rashi comments, he says, like, how could Yaakov say such a thing? The most vulgar person wouldn't speak like that. Let me marry her and I will come to her. It's not recommended with your prospective father-in-law. it's really not before the 10th date. But, so what's the job? Like, how could he say such a thing? So Rashi explains that what Yaakov was saying is that I'm 84 years old and I have to start creating the Shvatim, and it was all Kedusha. It was Kedusha. He was saying it's time for me to start having kids, to start producing Klal Yisrael. So it's clear that Yaakov Avinu's goals were not superficial goals. There were Kedusha. He was trying to build the Shiftei Kah. So when he prefers Rachel over Leah, it's not because she looked better. You know, her external features were better. Clearly he sensed in Rachel superior qualities, a perfection of character that made her right to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. And when he prefers Rachel over Leah, that means that Yaakov Avinu sensed in Rachel superior qualities over Leah. That's clear from the basic understanding of the Psukim. But if that's the case, then there's something that's astounding that comes out if you think about it. Because Yaakov Avinu prefers Rachel over Leah, because Rachel is superior to Leah in some sense, yet all of the godless of Klal Yisrael comes from Leah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest manik of Klal Yisrael, comes from Leah. Shevet Levi comes from Leah. The Kohanim come from Leah. Malchus Beis David, the kingship, comes from Leah. All of Klal Yisrael for the last 2,500 years primarily come from Leah. After the 10 Shvatim were exiled, so Yehuda was basically the remnants of Klal Yisrael. Most people here are probably from Leah. If you're a Kohen or Levi, Pashit. And statistically, probability-wise, everyone else is probably from Leah, just based on the statistical probability that Yehuda is the majority. What does the word Jew mean? Jew, we're called Jews. What is a Jew? A Jew is a Yehudi. It comes from the word Yehuda. The word Jew comes from Leah. Everything that we are comes from Leah. So how do we understand this? Yaakov Avinu senses that Rachel is greater than Leah, yet everything that we have in Klal Yisrael today, all the godless of Klal Yisrael comes from Leah. Everything. The Kohanim, the kingship, all of us. The name Jew is from Leah. So what's the pshat? So there's a pasuk in this week's Parsha. This is a piece from Victor Miller that opens up the inyan. The pasuk says, Vayara Hashem ki snu Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Vayiftach et rachma. And because she was snua, because she was hated, so Hashem opened up her womb and she started having birth. V'rachel akara, and Rachel remained an akara. Because Leah was snua, because she was hated, so therefore Hashem gave her the first number of Shvatim, which included Levi and included Yehuda. All that came from Leah, and Rachel remained an akara. Now the question becomes, what's Taka the Pshat? Because she was hated? Because she felt hated, therefore she got all these, I mean, it seems excessive, that she got all the godless of Klal Yisrael because she felt hated. Now obviously we understand that, and as an aside, that when it says she was hated, clearly Yaakov Avinu didn't display any hatred at all towards Leah. What it means is that he, on some level, there was a preference given towards Rachel, and Leah sensed that. The fact that, you know, the greatest desire of a wife is to be appreciated by her husband, to be adored by her husband, and the man has two wives, and he's giving a little bit of preference to one over the other, so that's called snua in her eyes. Clearly the snua here was a very subtle snua. But nonetheless, the pasuk says, because she was snua, so now she has all the godless and Klal Yisrael, and Rachel doesn't. What's the pshat? It seems excessive, because she was hated on a very dakistical level, so now she gets all the godless and Klal Yisrael comes from her. So, Rav Miller explained as follows. There's really a Gemara in Bava Basra that on Kuf Chaf Gimel Mad Aleph that reinterprets this pasuk. So we'll explain it with the beer of the Gemara in Bava Basra and even without the beer with the Pshutul Shemikra of what this pasuk really means to say. The Gemara in Bava Basra gives us the classic background information behind Rachel and Leah that, you know, Rachel. Everyone always expected that Leah would line up with Esav and Rachel would line up with Yaakov. You know, Esav was the older, Leah was older, Rachel and Yaakov were younger. That's how it was going to be. And the Gemara Bava Basra tells us the classic drasha that because of this, so Leah Imenu, so she cried, and her eyes were tender because she cried so much, and she cried and she cried and she cried. And the Gemara says that that's what the pasuk means to say. When it says "Vayara Hashem ki snua Leah," the Gemara says in Bava Basra means that it wasn't that Leah was hated on the level of Drush, but that Leah hated the Maisim of Esav. That Leah saw that her trajectory was to be towards Esav, and she saw that that's how it was supposed to be. That she was hearing these rumors that she's going to end up being with Esav. And even after she marries Yaakov, she's clearly in a bidyavid situation. He clearly doesn't prefer her. He clearly doesn't want to be with her. On some level, he's giving preference to Rachel. So even after she got married, she's crying and she's crying and she's crying. And her eyes become tender from all the crying. Says the Gemara, from the fact that she cried and she cried and she cried, as Rav Miller explains, she slowly but surely, she raised herself in her avodas Hashem. From all this crying, she wouldn't just stop crying. Her crying was Avodas Hashem. She was crying to the point that she elevated herself above Rachel. And so she, because Vayara Hashem ki snua Leah, she elevated herself to the point where she was greater now than Rachel, and that's where the godless of Klal Yisrael came from. That Rav Miller said that for all of eternity, in Olam Haba, Leah is looking back with the greatest happiness of these days of being hated by her husband, so to speak, of having felt that she was hated. All this adversity caused her to be essentially the mother of all of Klal Yisrael as we know it. So it's a perspective on adversity, on the challenges that we have. If a person taps into the challenges that he's given, a person can elevate himself to with such potential and such accomplishments as Leah Imenu. Because she used the adversity to work on herself, to cry her eyes out, to the point that she got everything Klal Yisrael has comes from her, essentially. I'll just quickly share a story I saw from Rabbi Reisman. He has a sefer. So in the sefer, he brings down a story that he was once davening by his father's kever, before Yom Nirayim, and he was, you know, pouring out his anxieties and his issues as he was crying, and he's davening. And he writes that, you know, as he was davening by his father's kever, so he remembered a story that happened to himself some time back that he thought was relevant to this situation. Sometime before that, so he was walking on a Shabbos afternoon in Brooklyn. And as he's walking, he sees a couple with their young child. And there's no Erev in that area. And the child refused to budge. The child refused to move. And the parents are bribing him and offering things, and the child is refusing. And now the child has the upper hand because they can't carry him. So there's an issue. So Rabbi Reisman writes that I decided to do the couple a favor. I put on a really angry face, and I walked up to the kid and I said, "What are you doing on my sidewalk?" The kid pops up, runs to his parents as fast as he can. And he starts, you know, he's running to his parents. His parents are giggling. They can't stop laughing. It's the funniest thing in the entire world. So he says, and the kid was looking at his parents, and he was like, it's weird, like you know, anomaly that this guy is trying to bite me, and you're laughing. like what's going on here? So he said that as he's davening by his father's kever, he realized that this was really a mushel for, you know, for Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. That he's pouring out his sorrows to, you know, by the kever of his father's Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not davening to his father, he's davening to Hashem. But he's pouring it out, you know, and the nifter can hear, by the kever, the nifter can hear the tefillahs that are being said. And he said that, I'm crying about this, and I guarantee you in the next world they're looking, and they're laughing, just like the parents were laughing at the kid's anguish, because they know it was just for the best for the kid, so that the kid could come home. So too, you know, in the next world, our loved ones in the next world, and the people who look down on us, they're laughing at all the trials, all the adversity that we have, because they understand that it's for our best. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos. Okay. Okay.